You can have all the money in your hand, all the possessions anyone can ever have, but it's all worth the treasure. True worth is only measured not by what you got, but what you got in your heart. You can have, you can have everything, but what is it? What is it?
Never had it so good. 101.1 Radio, the best R&B and hip hop music. The Quiet Storm every Friday and Saturday. Talk radio with the best host in the business. Sports talk radio every weekend night with Princess Cooper. Never had it so good. Radio now on 101.1 and it's 24/7. The world's best radio station.
In this day and time, stereotypes are the false descriptions for all of humanity. James T. Deshaies is the author of two great poetry books that attempt to describe life from a male perspective. It has been a common belief that men are unable to put into words their deepest feelings and spend most of their time focused on the surface of what life means. Thoughts, love, and reflections, and passion, desire, and contemplation take you on a journey that has very few travelers. Mr. Deshaies has opened his heart and spirit up in ways that few have ever experienced. The depth of his poetry will have you reading his books and poems over and over again. you will find yourself using his passages to describe your own feelings to your family and friends. It is now time to put aside your thoughts and feelings related to the depth of men's thoughts and delve deeply into the words of James T. Deshaies. Once again, he will put an end to your thoughts that men can't translate their heartfelt spirit into words. Both of these books will allow you to find comfort in the reality of the heart of men. You will spend hours trying to embrace the way men want to love and display their passion to the women they love. Don't be fooled by those books that create love through words of lust, vulgarity, and unhealthy displays of sexual activities. You will discover the types of words that will allow you to rejoice in the future of what love truly means to men. Your book clubs and families will be able to discuss these words without fear. No one will have to leave the room. Both of these books can be purchased at jamestdeshaies2.com and lulu.com. Feel free to reach out to the author at tlreflectionsjtd@gmail.com.
This is James T. Deshaies, the host of Thought, Love, and Reflection, brought to you by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network. We're on 7 days a week, Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, Saturday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, and Sunday at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time. We're here so that your voice can be heard loud and clear without interruption. And today is no different. You know, we're talking about today a subject I'm sure we've talked about before, but I just want to have us rediscuss parts of this case that just seems to not be able to give me comfort. The Casey Anthony case, where a mother for 31 days was unable to show or prove where her child was. And it was the persistence of her mother that kept bringing up the point of where this girl was. Had it not been for her persistence, we don't know how long we would have gone without acknowledging that this child was missing. And so I just want to just go over some of the stuff in this case that shows me that there's something wrong with our system sometimes. We can find innocent people guilty, but people who are truly guilty sometimes, for some reason, get away. And it'd be interesting to understand why it is that this happened. And how could a jury not be deadlocked? How could they come to a unanimous decision about this young lady's situation? And so I just want to go over it again. Why in the world that 12 people were able to reach this conclusion? So let me kind of just tell you where my point of view is. So I have with me on the line right now, I have Regina, I have Dee, and I have Nate. And I just want all of you to kind of give me some answers based on the things that I'm going to challenge you to help me understand. And I know we've hashed this over before, but I just want to just know something. If a mother does not contact police when her child is missing, and she goes on about her life as though the child is okay for 31 days, I want you to explain to me, Nate, how in the world do you even get past that? Let's not even get into the I don't want to get into anything other than that there. If a mother came to you and tried to explain to you why she didn't contact police for 31 days, she hasn't seen her child or been able to produce her child to her grandmother or to anyone else, and she been partying and having her a good time during those 31 days, how do you get beyond that and not convict her? Just on that single thought alone, how was she not, what mother allows her child of the age of 3 to be gone for 31 days?
Oh, good evening, James. Good evening, everybody. And you know, you proposed a good question, because if I was on that jury, that's the main thing I'm looking at is you even remorseful? Because 31 days and you can't give a reason. First of all, there ain't no reason for not calling the police for no 31 days. There's no justified reason in the world for anything, especially no 3-year-old child who can defend herself and anything like that. You know, so on that alone, there's no way in the world I could have unanimously voted her not guilty on that alone. But the thing about it is, I'm a parent. You know, and if my oldest, you know, goes quiet for a little while, I'm trying to find my oldest. You know, as a father, I'm trying to make sure they're okay and everything like that. So as a parent intuition is, hey, you know, you out there looking and everything like that. And like you were saying, it was because of her mom being persistent and everything, and it was a whole lot. Lot of black eyes in this case and everything. Cause for one, she didn't show no type of remorse. Even though was asking, do you know where she was at and everything like that, she was so evasive and everything. That would have been another thing. I'd have been looking at her, why are you so evasive? Because every time when they asked her that question, she was evasive when it came to that question. Why you didn't call the police? Why you didn't call, let nobody know she was missing, anything like that? For 31 days? Come on, man. And on top of that, now you still out there partying, you still doing your thing like it's nothing, like it's normal and everything. So on that alone and everything, and they played it on TV so much here when it was going on. There's a lot about it, the case I've forgotten about, but that's one of the things I remember clearly. Like, how can you justify going that long without calling the police or calling your mom, your dad, or anybody else? Thank you, James.
Regina, I'm just, you know, every time I see these documentaries about this case and I think of myself on a jury, you know, there's sometimes when you don't ask any more questions because there are no more questions to be asked. And so when you suggest that other people have to call the police and notify them that you haven't seen your grandchild in 31 days, and the mother is oblivious to why she hadn't called, and she's going on with her life, and she's constantly lying to the grandparents, I'm just trying to figure out, how in the world do you get 12 people to agree to not guilty when... If you don't tell me why you didn't contact the police in 31 days when you were the only one that was supposed to be giving this child care and comfort, I can't get to anything else. And so I'm just trying to figure out, how does a mother lie about where their child has been for 31 days and still be found not guilty?
I don't know.
Unbelievable to me. I just can't imagine even being away, even not reaching out to my daughter who's grown and 40 years old at least one or two times during a week. And but
right.
For somebody to just simply go on with their life for 31 days and avoid the issue of the mother, grandmother calling and asking where her grandchild is, I just don't know how a jury, Regina, comes up and says, I mean, somebody out of 12 not say, hey, I ain't getting this.
Well, I'm sure that that there were some people who did not want to vote that way. And probably after they cast their vote saying that they did not believe what the mother was saying, you had enough people who were swayed to possibly believe. And then you had a few that believed it. So it was just a matter of what technique was used to persuade the others to the way of totally, you know, getting her off. And then remember now, the people who are on the jury are made up of they look like the community. So how did that community look? Did that community look as if they would have done the same thing that this parent did? And if they did, then that shows you how they let her off.
Well, Dee, let me go to you, Dee, and just say to you, I'm trying, you know, again, this is, you know, we live in a society where our jury system is sending a lot of innocent people to jail, and they can be very biased in the way they reach conclusions. But is white privilege this powerful that a 20-plus-year-old girl, white female, can be found not guilty when she has clearly decided that her child doesn't have any value and she's going to go on with her life, and the only persistent person to try to find out where this child is or to bring attention to the law is the grandmother? And then the grandmother and the grandfather become the scapegoat. How does that even happen?
Well, good evening, everybody. James, this is definitely one for the record books. This is one that will go into the law libraries for future lawyers to be able to learn from. And that's going to be my point. First of all, I want to say to any aspiring young people that have the notion to become defense lawyers or prosecutors, this is one of the cases where you got to be mindful, good enough to have value for the profession and go at the profession for the value of it and not for the expertise, not for the prestige of it. Go for the value of it. Now, so when it comes down to answering your question, let me bring in one of the great defense attorneys, Johnny Cochran. And Johnny Cochran had the mindset, it's not whether you are innocent or guilty. It's whether they can prove it. That's the whole mantra of the defense attorney. It's not whether you're innocent. They don't care if you're innocent or guilty. It's whether or not the prosecution is good enough to prove it. That's why back in the old days, the production of a body was so important, because what you're expressing here on the show today are feelings, and feelings are circumstantial when it comes down to a criminal case of this kind, okay? And so when it comes down to the value of being a good defense attorney, just like that of a prosecuting attorney, when it comes down to the minute interest, the first base, you get the first base, you have to have the jury selection, and that's first base. So a good defense attorney is going to say no. That person shouldn't be part of this jury because they're too emotional. Or no, that person right there is a grandmother that got a street kid with children, and the grandmother has been taking care of that kid for years or for months or years,
and the mother's on drugs. Nope, that person can't be on this jury. So it's all about the jury selection. So when so what happened in this case, the jury was of the same. There was non-bias of the case. And so if the evidence wasn't undoubtedly pointed to that person as having done something with that child, and I don't remember whether or not a body was produced at the time of the missing person of that child and during that case, or if a body was produced at all, and they was able to do an autopsy on the child that would tie the mother to that crime, everything else is circumstantial. As horrifying as that is. But so in this case, the defense team was an excellent team. The prosecuting team, the firm that they worked for, would say, no, we can't go in with this because this is not enough. This is not enough to convict. Y'all don't watch Law and Order long enough to know that they got to have enough to convict. Everything else is just a waste of time. Thank you.
Nate, the problem that I have, Nate, is this, and I understand what D is saying, because D is saying what is normal for everybody to say, okay, you got to prove that a person did something. And I cannot prove that Casey Anthony killed her child. We don't have any direct evidence that she killed her child. What we do have is a mother behaving in a way that shows that she has no sense of value for her child. And that's what I'm saying. See, I'm saying to you that had I been on that jury, none of what the defense said would mean anything to me if woman couldn't come up with a reason why her child was not seen by anyone for 31 days. You know what I mean? To me, you would have to show, you know, she lied about so much. And D, is important that you understand this. She took the police on a wild goose chase the whole entire time she was out of jail. She took them to Universal Studios and said she worked at Universal Studios. Got them past the security, and that's right, Nate, you work at Universal Studios. She was able to get them past the security without a badge, back there into the back, walking around where people walk who are employees, until they got tired of walking, and they asked her, where are we going? Where is this person at? And she finally said, oh, I don't work here anymore. I mean, those are the kind of things to me that make me numb to anything else you say. When you flat out lie about so much and you can't give me a reason why you didn't contact the police for 31 days, I'm just going to be listening to everything else, because until you prove me that you're innocent, you're guilty. And I know that you're supposed to be guilty until proven innocent. I mean, you're supposed to be innocent until you're proven guilty. But once you lie so much and you can't tell me why you didn't call the police when your child was missing, your mom had to call them, I just can't see it. And, Nate, you can give us an insight into how much you got to lie when you don't have a badge.
Well, first of all, I want to piggyback on what Diaz said about that jury thing. Now, what you said, everything you saying is right and everything, but it's all about that defense attorney allowing you to be put on that jury. Now, you wouldn't allow her to get away with it. I wouldn't allow her to get away with it, but that don't mean that defense lawyer going to allow us to be on that jury. You know, that's one of the times you have to put that poker face on and everything. So I agree with D on down, because he's going to try to get a jury that's going to be to his benefit and everything. And so that was an excellent point that he made. Now, as for Universal Studios, I don't know how she got back there. you know, without I don't know how secure it was at that time because if that's true, she made them look bad because there's no way in the world, even if you get suspended at Universal Studios, you try to go with your ID. Your ID was showed up. You are suspended. You cannot go through the back gate. You cannot go through the employee's entrance at all. So I don't know how she got that or how she was able to do it. But going through gate two, and that's what it's called, gate two, there's no way in the world you'll be able to get through there because they check everything and everybody. And I like to think the way the security is set up now, it was the same way it was set up when she supposedly been working out there or start working out there. So how she was able to get back there like that. And well, let me ask you this: when she went back there, who did she go back there with? Did she go back there with law enforcement?
Yeah, she went back there with law enforcement. This was the premise that she went onto the property. She was looking for the person's name, who she left the baby with, and where the person lived that she left the baby with. And she said that there was a coworker who used the same babysitter. So they were looking for this coworker so that they could find out the name and location of where this babysitter lived. So she was able to talk herself past the guard with the law enforcement with her to find this woman who she supposedly used the same babysitter with. But by the time they walked so far, the policemen were like, when are we going to get to where we're going? She finally decided to say she had lied.
That's probably how she got back there then without no bag, because she was with law enforcement. That's why I was asking you was she with law enforcement, because that's the only conceivable way I could see her even going back there without no badge is with law enforcement. You know, when law enforcement get involved, then it's a totally different story because it is private property. But we have law enforcement out there all the time. And when they're investigating, then, you know, that's probably how she got back there. But other than that, you're not getting back there on any cases. Regardless of emergency or not, there are certain protocols that you have to go through. But I agree with you. She had lied about so much and everything like that, that person like me, I probably wouldn't have got picked for the jury because I've been so anxious to get on the jury and everything like that. And so, like you said, I got to go back to what he was saying. It was all based on how that jury was picked. He picked however he picked them, he did a good job allowing the right people to be picked for his favor, and it turned out to be pretty good. But at the end of the day, like you said, how in the world they found her not guilty? It's like a UFO, unexplained mystery. Thank you.
And that's what I'm saying is, how did you get all of those people to agree to not guilty? I would have been the lone person holding out, Regina, because when they told me, it is just difficult for me, Regina, on a level of parenting, how you go 31 days and your mother is the only one who insists on you producing her grandchild. And I mean, that is just not normal in any fashion of the word. How do you allow that to be normal where a woman can just say to you, hey, look, you know, we ain't seen your child in 31 days. Where is your child at? So when you tell me the child is dead or you've been looking for the child, you were trying to investigate it yourself, who in the world does that, Regina? I mean, your child be missing. You want somebody to be out there constantly searching for your child. And who leaves the child with somebody that they don't know the phone number, the address, no nothing?
Well, was she evaluated and found to be sane?
Well, obviously she was found to be sane because they let her be tried. But Regina, let me just say that they had videotape of her at a party. They had videotape of her at a store shopping, but none of the items that she picked up was for her child. I mean, all indication was that this young lady knew early on that this child was no longer alive. And everything she did had no relationship to that child at all. And to give you some similarities, Regina, she was dating a guy who was trying to break up with her, who told her that he would never marry anybody with children. So it seems very similar to that case in Union, South Carolina, where the girl was interested in marrying somebody, but he didn't want outside children. So she drowned them. So you can see in this case, for whatever reason, they were willing to give the death penalty to the young lady in South Carolina who murdered her children, but not willing to do it in this case in Florida, where this girl had gone 31 days without telling them or being able to prove to them where this child was.
Well, James, that just goes to show that the laws here in South Carolina may be a little more strict than those in Florida. And then again, I say, remember, the jury pool looks like the constituents of the community. So is that to say that those people who allowed this to happen, that they don't have a lot of moral aptitude? We have a situation that's been going on here now for about five years, where a little boy is missing, and he's now 7. Well, yesterday was National Missing Children's Day, so we had his picture on, circulated throughout the community. But his mother, too, went to jail, and she served time for giving false information. They could never prove that she actually killed the child, so that's why we're still looking for the child. So maybe there were things that needed more than just circumstantial evidence to give her a criminal, charge. And I bet you that's what it is. I bet you something they needed that they didn't have that would have put her in jail for a long time. Because they never saw her with the child, did they?
No, they never. The child had not been seen. The child had been missing for 31 days. But my answer, my thing to you is there are certain things that you need to know in order to give somebody life imprisonment or the death penalty. But you and I also both know that people are prosecuted and convicted every day for things that they didn't do and things that people didn't see, that was not direct information related to them being the ones who caused the death of somebody. But to me, when they found the body was found near the grandparents' home off the road in an area that was flooded, but wasn't flooded when they found the body. So I'm saying to you, when you are going around lying about where somebody is, and that person has not been in your midst for 31 days, and you don't lie about where they were and nobody's seen them, and you talk about them being with other people, and for everybody you got a different excuse, if you're lying about where the child is, then you must have had something to do with the death. And so that's what I'm saying to you. If I lie about my husband going to work, and every time somebody asks me, "Oh, where your husband?" "Oh, he flew out to South Carolina. He flew out to Denver." And then people find out there was no record of that. Why would I assume you didn't have anything to do with the death when you're lying about where the child is? Dee, that's my problem. If you're lying about where the child is, and you're saying that the child is okay, but we find out the child been dead beyond when you say the child was okay, then to me you had to have something to do with the child being dead.
I disagree.
So you believe a person would lie about where somebody is when, what's the reason for lying about where they are?
Well,
I don't say, I don't know. I don't know where the person is. I haven't seen them since such and such.
Well, I sent so-and-so to my recollection, wherever I sent the child is where I sent the child. Now, it was wrong for me to send the child to that area the way I did, maybe because I wanted to be with the man I loved, the man that wasn't going to marry me without having, if I had, you know, children that weren't his. And I did this, and I knew this was wrong. I knew my parents wouldn't agree with it. So, yes, I'm lying to them. But what I didn't intend was for whoever I left that child with to cause that child any harm. So when I tell you
I don't know what happened, but
and it's called postpartum.
My problem with what you're saying, Regina, is this. Once you realize that they are looking for your child and the jig is up, why wouldn't you give them the right information to find your child? I'm saying, why lie about where your child was or what your child was doing after the police already know that you are not in, you don't have the child? To me, if I knew I hadn't done something, I would tell the truth about where the child was so that they could recognize that all I did was leave the child with somebody else because I didn't want the child anymore. I mean, that's reasonable. But to lie about where the child is when everybody knows that you're the one. Dee, what is your thought about that, Dee? I mean, why lie about where the child is if everybody knows that you don't have the child anymore? So tell the truth about where the child is so that they can go ask that person what happened.
Well, you know, not to deal with the circumstances or the lack thereof. It's actually the fault is actually falls at the feet of the prosecuting office. All right, and you know, and Ms. Regina hinted at the reason why. We have all come to learn, and before I go there, that case that you're speaking of in South Carolina was the Susan Smith case. Where the boyfriend did not want kids, and she drowned him, and blamed it on a black man, said that he did it, and he was out looking for a black person until she fessed up.
Right.
But
I remember that one. Yeah.
Mhm. But now, the fact is that the prosecuting office failed, and we've seen this time and time again over the past 3 years to produce a charge that can get a conviction. You know, I don't know if they went for a first-degree murder or whatever it was, that's the wrong charge. We've seen that in the Trayvon Martin case and numerous other cases when it comes to black people being abused by police officers and killed. The lame duck prosecuting office go for the wrong charge probably because of the advice of the family going for a murder charge. Instead of a manslaughter charge, or in this case, a missing or a child negligence or child endangerment charge. Just get something to put him in jail until you come up with a better case. See, that's where the mindset falls short. Don't go for the home run on the first three swings. Just get on base. And so to her defense attorney's credit, because we just come out what it is. Now, surely, now we know that if it had been a person of color, now all of that, what I'm saying, does not even equate because the laws apply differently as much as anyone of a fair skin tone would care to admit, the law applies differently to people of color. But if you go in, decent looking, pretty white girl with long lashes, and you bang your eyes at, across the aisle, they got to come with the game straight. And they got to have that, what I just said, in the playbook. That she's pandering, or whatever term you want to use, the jury, or even somebody under the prosecuting team. Somebody wasn't paying attention well enough to try to get a conviction in this case. So my statement is that they should have went for a lesser charge just to incarcerate the person. I mean, that pretty girl can't do 15 years in jail without becoming somebody else's girl. So that would have been punishment enough. I mean, just to get her in there. But to go for the home run is not the right way to go about it. Thank you.
And I think you're so right. You know, I'm looking at this from my standpoint, I don't think I could have been on any of those juries that released people I don't care. And I guess, again, I'm stammering. But what I guess I'm saying is, Nate, couldn't be on a jury with a police officer who shot an unarmed man, because no matter what they say or do, I'm going to hang the jury, because I'm just not going to buy any of that foolishness they come up with to justify them shooting a person that doesn't have a weapon. You need to know what a person has before you shoot them. And in the Zimmerman case, they told him, as far as I'm concerned, when they told him not to leave the truck, if I call the police and they tell me, listen, don't leave your truck, I'm not leaving my truck. And so to me, everything that happened after he left his truck, he was responsible for. So I would have been a hung jury in that case too. So that's kind of what I'm asking. Why are these juries only have the kind of people who are willing to go along with the whole group? As an African American, had I been on any of these trials, I'm going to tell you, I would expect it more, and I would have not allowed a trial to go through with a jury that said not guilty, because I would have hung the jury up. They could have talked as long as they wanted to, and they could have, you know, because it ain't no talking to be had. When a man running away from you, you shooting him in the back, or a woman who has her child gone for 31 days, I don't care if she's black, chocolate, Chinese, or whatever she is. If her child been gone for 31 days and she ain't contacted the police, she guilty or something.
I agree with you on that aspect of it right there, because you guilty of something, you hiding something. And everything like that, and that's what the jury selection is like that. You ain't never got to worry about being on a jury trial, because you're not have that those kind of trials. You're never going to get picked for it anyway. With your background, education, and everything like that, they're not going to pick you and everything like that, because they're going to see that you're the type of person that's going to ask certain types of questions and everything like that. So that defense attorney will do everything he can to keep a person from like you from even getting on a jury trial, getting on the jury itself, because he know a person like you is going to be the hiccup. And the sad thing about it, you do need a person like you on the jury, because it will ask those questions. It will hang it up. It's just like you said with George Zimmerman, I agree with you. When that 911 operator told him to stay in the truck, don't even get involved in it, as soon as he left, he was guilty, because he would have never left that truck. That young man has been alive today. They could have presented all the evidence they wanted to after that, but as soon as he left the truck, in my eyes, he was guilty. Because then he went out and pulled the trigger. So people like me and you, you know, they'll look at the different types of backgrounds and stuff. And backgrounds do play a role in it. Just like police shooting black men, stuff like that. They're going to be very careful about who they pick to put on that trial, especially if they're trying to get the cop off and everything like that. We don't know what goes on behind these meetings and everything when it comes to these lawyers, when it comes to defense attorney, comes to these judges, because a majority of them know each other anyways. So we have to take that into consideration too. And think about what Dee was saying, if they wouldn't try to hit the home run and went for something lesser, they probably could have gotten something more with the lesser than they're trying to hit for the home run. So I just felt like the whole way they went after that case, especially such it was such a worldwide case, you know, a national case, that it was a lot of pressure for them to handle it right. But the case to me was cut and dry. The only thing they couldn't prove was that she did kill. That's the only thing they couldn't prove. But the child endangerment and all that kind of neglect and abuse, those kind of things, those are the things they could prove. And I think the state just failed the case by trying to prove the murder aspect of it and anything else. And that's where I think why the jury got was able to say that she didn't do it, because that's what they were given, the murder trial aspect of it, not the neglective parent or anything like that, not the lying parent. She was on a murder trial, not for anything else.
And, Regina, my problem is, and just like you alleged to it, is I know Dee said it specifically, is they ain't letting no person of color, they not going to speculate that they're innocent until proven guilty. You know, when it's the opposite way with us. I mean, when something don't make sense, and stuff for them have to make sense when it comes to us. But they will give themselves those buys and those opportunities when it's them. I mean, even there was sympathy for that young lady. I don't even remember what her name was in Union, South Carolina. She had sympathy for her, but nobody else, no person of color, could have had any sympathy for themselves had they drove their children into a lake and let them drown. Are
well,
you ever getting, Gina?
Yes, I am. During that case, they really didn't have a choice there. The area where that occurred in Union County, isn't it near your family, James?
Yes, it is.
Yeah. And I was working not far from that county, so the racial tensions were great because she did accuse black men of doing this, and black men were being stopped at a great number of black men were being stopped during that time searching for this killer. Listening to what you guys have said, it makes a lot of sense in that the whoever was trying the case, they went for the wrong thing. And when you're back there, and you all know, it's cut and dry. These are the charges. This is what you can do. This is what you can't do. And so we don't know that whether or not the jurors did all that they could do based on what the charges were and based on what the law said they could do. Regardless of the subjectivity and how we feel, it is what it is, and it's cut and dry. In that case, evidently. But it made sense what you all said, because, as I said to you, the young lady here whose child went missing, she's a black lady. She comes from a prominent family here in Columbia. They did try her on lesser charges, which allowed her to eventually have to do jail time. She's out. The child is still missing. She's still not talking. Did have to serve some sort of time for this incident. So it makes sense what you all said about, you know, what you should charge them with. And James, that's probably what happened. They charged her with murder, and they couldn't prove murder. They could not prove that this woman murdered that child. So they couldn't put her in jail on a murder charge. Conspiracy?
Well, D,
perhaps.
D, let me ask you, and Regina is correct. They couldn't tie her to when this child actually died. Okay? They couldn't tie her to they didn't have her fingerprints on the bag of where the child was. But let me just ask you, with all that said and done, if you were on the trial and this woman lied about where her child was for 31 days, would you have been able to say not guilty?
No, James, I think I would have been part of the hung jury process. In fact, for me to be selected on the jury itself, I think I probably would have lied just to be on the jury.
Right there.
Yeah.
I was thinking that too. They wouldn't put none of us on that jury.
Now, looking forward, I think that's why we were so elated that OJ wasn't convicted. It wasn't the fact that whether he did it or not. It was the fact that his attorney was good enough to make justice blind for real. Because if you go off on a murder trial and if the glove does not put him at the scene, then you got to let him go. If the glove all you really got and it don't fit, then you got to let him go. So, that's right. So now going forward, in the broader picture, that's why we said that in some of these cases, these mega churches or people with money has to come to the people aid when they are in a position and they need a top rank attorney to make these people really prove their case. If you got a hometown guy that says, "I'll be your attorney," you can't pick that guy, because he's not gonna be equipped enough to even go into the trial in your defense, where you can get the best benefit out of the justice system, because we already know that the system is kind of marked for you, but only an adequate attorney, a defense attorney, can actually make them work hard enough to prove that you are guilty. This is a great time for people, especially people of influence in the black community, to say, "Well, look, if she got off because of the lack of evidence or the lesser charge not being brought to the forefront, anybody that ever comes in this situation again of color, with or any color, it don't matter, and they don't have the adequate funding to by a good attorney, we will come to that aid." And because we just want fairness. We just want justice to be blind like they say it is, not to be picking and choosing who they feel is just and unjust. So thank you.
Well, let me just say this to you and tell all y'all this, because I happen to have been at the jail at the time girl was on trial. And a lot of the black inmate believed she was going to get out. I mean, I don't know how they had the insight or what they felt. I just think they was enamored by her because they thought she was cute. And so that's what they thought. But to go back on what you said, D, it amazed me that this girl was getting so much money. This is what the hearsay was, that she was getting more money for her food, that there was a limit to the money that they could take in, and that there were just white people all over the place giving money to her canteen to the degree that she couldn't even keep the money. And there were people sending money for her defense. And I'm just saying, you know, it lets you know that there's some evil going around that that is willing to support people like her and Zimmerman in a way that's just unbelievable, unmoral, that these people like them could do such despicable things and get the kind of support that they got from white America after doing something like that, Nate. And it just seems like, you know what I mean? And I'm telling you, you know, you think about it. When you're willing to give somebody food beyond the food that they're getting anyway, when you know that they did something despicable, to me that says something about you.
And you're right. You're absolutely right. But at the same time, we got to look at it as it was a lot of people did not want this young lady convicted. It was a lot of people who want to see her get off. You know, just because of her skin color, or just because she was a mom, or people, only people want her guilty was people like Nancy Grace and those people. But at the end of the day, you know, just like you were saying that majority of the brothers in jail, they broken off. That's because they know the system. They know how to get the support and everything. And she got a lawyer who was trying to make a name for herself. So all bets was off and everything. And that's exactly what he did. The lawyer that she had made a name for herself. In a lot of ways, that lawyer he had made her a victim. You know, he went out of the way to make more her a victim. In fact, the lawyer went out of the way, and in a lot of ways, it tried to make it seem like the parents the grandparents had something to do with it. Even when as far as out, it's trying to make the dad look like the dad had something to was capable of committing the murder and everything. So there was a lot of things about that case that was so jacked up and that they were so willing to get her off that it played out the way he wanted to play it out. He couldn't play it out no better than how you want somebody to get off, because the jury selection, how they went about that. Then he went out of the way to try to make her look like a victim and everything. There was a lot of open-ended questions. There was a lot of unsolved questions. It was so much, when it came to the murder trial, that they could not connect a lot of the dots. And it was just piggyback on what he said, and Ms. Regina, what everybody else said, and on what you said, if they just moved down to a lesser thing, a lesser charge, this right now where we were in being questioned. Because they went for a murder charge, they could not prove anything. And it's sad because this young lady is guilty of something. She know what happened. She definitely know what happened and everything like that. And if I'd have been on the jury, I definitely would have hung that jury. I definitely would have hung that jury, because in my heart, in my mind, there's no doubt that she had something to do with it. But could I be able to prove it? No. But my gut feeling, yes. Yes. Thank you.
And it's, you know, as we go on, we just wonder what the lives of these people are like. We don't know much about her situation and what life she's living and whether white America has accepted her back. But we know that Zimmerman seems to be having a lot of trouble getting back into society to the point that he's on trial now. I don't know if, but he's been on trial for stalking. And his life has just been a mess. Another man has gone to jail for many years for shooting at him on the highway. So every time you turn around, he's involved in some kind of conflict with somebody. And that, you know, the lives are like that. And so it leads us to believe, Cheryl, that, you know, when you do something wrong, you cannot find peace in your life as it goes forward.
Good evening. No, and you can't, because it's going to follow through you. You know, just like Nate was saying about how Casey got off, but the key thing was what they went after her for. Now, if they would have went after her for a lesser charge, then she may have served some time. But they went after her for murder. And because of that, that's where they wind up having the upper hand. And just like he said, you know, it was almost like a business transaction taking place. People were trying to come up in certain areas, and she just happened to be the person that they were able to use to do some of the things that they needed to have done at that time. And that worked to her benefit. But trust me, because she know the truth, and whatever it is, she won't rest, and she definitely will pay for it, just like Zimmerman is doing right now and so many others. You know, just because you get off for one thing, if you are actually guilty, and even in your mind, you can't rest, you can't sleep, you're not comfortable with yourself. So you got that. You got to live with you. And trust me, no matter how bad we may have wanted it to go a different way, she's paying for it because she definitely do know. And you cannot do anything like that in life and get away with it. You're going to pay one way or another. So I don't feel like, you know, that she's gotten off scot-free, because I'm pretty sure there's not a day that go by that she is comfortable with herself. And if anybody is, then they are mentally disturbed and they have been able to detach any emotions from the situation. But 9 times out of 10, she's not resting, and she never could. She never will be able to. None of them. Nobody who does anything, you know, to that magnitude, or even some of the small things. You know, we find ourselves feeling bad about little things. So imagine the major things if people have a conscience. And I'm pretty sure she do. And, you know, it's probably playing over and over in her head every single day just what happened. If this would have happened and if this was different, you know, I should have did this. She's not resting. She's not resting. And God is going to, and he's seeing to that. Because you can't mess with one of his children, even though that was her child. You can't mess with one of his children and think that he's going to be pleased with that. It's no way. Not at all.
And it is amazing to me that she has not committed suicide. You know, I mean, can you imagine walking out your door every day? Because you got to make a living. You know, the thing is that Zimmerman and her and people like her, they're young enough that they still got to make a living. And when you got to go out there and make a living after you've been seen by the nation, and your name just won't go away, you know what I mean? I just was watching, the reason why I brought this subject up again, because Chase Anthony had a special on that I was watching today. And I was just watching it and just dealing with how in the world did she get off. And so, you know, it is just amazing to me, you know, Zimmerman, every few years, he back in the limelight again about something, and it's taunting him. He cannot get away from what he's done, and it's only fair that he can't. You know, he can't run away from himself. And you're right, Cheryl, when you do something like take a life of another person unjustifiably, that's you can't run away from that. I mean, that's the ultimate. So, Regina, you know, it's amazing that some people find themselves in that position, gotten away with it, and the same thing with O.J. Simpson. He can't rest. You know, when you've done something that you is egregious, you can't find peace.
I totally agree. You cannot find peace. You've done something that you know is wrong. Even if you got away with it, with mankind, with humans, There's a God that sits high and looks low. Conscious will not let you rest unless you don't have a conscience. And there are not many folk who don't have a conscience.
And, D, what happens is, you know, I have not always done the right thing for the right reason, but what happens is that when you're able to try to make good on something that you've done wrong, then you have a chance to be able to come to peace with it. But when you've done something that you can never right, you know, something that there's no solution to making it better, you know, you can't ask the person for forgiveness. You can't do anything right to give you some justification. I mean, you know, you can't do like Kobe. There ain't no diamond that you can buy to ask for forgiveness once you kill somebody.
Well, you know, Ms. Sheryl is absolutely correct. You know, we don't want nobody to get off that has committed a crime, especially a heinous crime of any kind. We don't want nobody to be savvy enough to be able to trick the justice system into thinking that you're innocent when you are, in fact, guilty. We don't want Hannibal Lecter walking the street if you're smart enough to be cunning and crafty. We don't want that. Now, to everybody's point here at this time, you know, the jury room of public opinion is ruthless. Even though she got off and walked out, can you imagine what it feels like to walk out in a world that everybody know your name and everybody know your face, like O.J. Simpson, okay? Everybody know who you are. You can't get a job at Walmart. You can't get a job in nowhere except to maybe at the neighborhood corner store. Somebody like the Patel that don't know you. Have not been paying attention. But she can't get a job nowhere. Everybody's going to know who she is. And so she's probably America's most hated right now. So, you know, God is just. And there are two different courtrooms, the courtroom of the justice system and the courtroom of public opinion. And that's where she is right now. Thank you.
Yeah, you know, we often wonder, is my understanding that she is now working in one of the law offices of one of the lawyers that represented her, but I cannot imagine how she can walk around in that place and everybody know who she is, and that anybody can just look and see and suggest that she should have a life with peace in it. And so it is amazing. We're going to take a short break, and we'll come back and continue our conversation.
You know I love music. And every time I hear something hot, it makes me want to move. It makes me want to have fun. But it's something about this joint right here. This joint right here, it makes me want to let it go. Can't let this thing called love get away from you. Feel free right now, go do what you wanna do. Can't let nobody take it away from you, from me, from we. No time for moping around, are you kidding? And no time for negative vibes, cause I'm winning. It's been a long week, I put in my heart in. Gonna live my life, feel the road to get it right. So I like what I see when I'm looking at me, when I'm walking past the mirror. Don't step through the night at a time, but my life ain't sorry about if you feel it. Got my head on straight, I got my vibe right, I ain't gonna let you kill it. Keep your head up high.
I am this woman. I am this woman that has set the expectations of the world to take my rightful place among the stars. The woman that does not use the traditional roadmaps to a given place, but create my own destination. I am this woman that maintains her intrinsic beauty in ways not determined by others' thoughts, but by my own sense of uniqueness. My own desire of sexiness and allure. I am this woman designed by my creator to scale the height of the unbounded, allowing my talents to be seen by the masses while inspiring those yet to dream to greatness. I am the mother of the world, deserving the respect of all that walk under the gravity of the earth, igniting the love that exists in all men, while being the birthplace of the future.
I am this woman. I am this woman that ascends the expectation of the world to take my rightful place among the stars. The woman who does not use the traditional roadmaps to a given place, but creates my own destination.
I am this woman that maintains her intrinsic beauty in ways not determined by others' thoughts, but by my own sense of uniqueness, my own desire of sexiness and allure.
I am this woman designed by my creator to scale the height of the unbounded, allowing my talents to be seen by the masses while inspiring those to dream.
I am the woman of the world, deserving the respect of all that walk under the gravity of the earth,
igniting the love that exists in all men while being the birthplace of the future.
I am this woman.
Nate and Cheryl, we spent our lives trying to figure out the world and how it works and how it is seems to be unconscious to the biases that exist to the world. That's why we have so many people of color who spend their lives in jail until somehow they are miraculously let, because there are going to be things that are not going to be allowed for us. You know, our parents can't speak for our innocence. Our sisters and brothers can't speak for our innocence. You know, they're going to just say, well, they're family members. That's why they said that. Well, you know, and so there are times when just a little bit of something will lock us up for life. But the reality is that the justice system is not fair for everybody, and that there are people who get away, white people who get away with things every day. You know, I don't know if you all remember about the incident where the neighbor, a white neighbor, killed another neighbor and cut the body up. And the man got off with self-defense. And my point would be, wait, man, if I did something like that and I tried self-defense, they tell me, you must be crazy. Why did you have to cut him up if you did self-defense? But they are able to do these kinds of things and allow themselves options that other people are not able to have, Nate.
And you're right, and the justice system is not fair. And I think OJ messed it up for every black man in America because he happened to beat the one case that we had to get out of jail free card. And it ain't right, you know, because seeing like every time you turn around, they rewriting laws, they redoing stuff just to stay ahead of the game. But if we do some of the smallest things, especially in the state of Florida, they're talking about the death penalty and things like that. They said, like, you have to find the most crookedest lawyer in the world, somebody like Willie B. Cheatham, just to get us off. And that's the way the system is set up. It's not a justice, it's not a fair system. It's a system that's benefit somebody that's not a minority. The system was set in place to benefit white America. Whether people may agree with it or not, that's fine. That's for debate. But based off my experience, for the people I know, and when I've been through it myself, it is set up for them to succeed in. It's not set up for me, you, D, Miss Cheryl, Miss Regina to be successful in. And it's not fair. And the justice is blind. When it comes to us, it's very blind. It ain't trying to see what we're being railroaded. Look at our history and everything. The justice system has not changed that much. It's still very, very cruel when it comes to minorities, African Americans, and everything like that. It hasn't even changed, and in some aspects, it's getting worse. Because go back to what you were saying with George Zimmerman and everything like that. How could they find that man not guilty? That man pulled a trigger on somebody. It was not self-defense. You provoked that man. You went after him. So how that self-defense? But the jury saw that. The jury saw that, and plus, you know, let's not forget, in George Zimmerman case, he had he was well connected. He had an uncle that was a bailiff in the Seminole County, either Orange County Courthouse, at the Orange County Courthouse. So he was well connected. So if you're not well connected in society, systems like that, systems going to fail you. You know, it's going to go against you because we're not set up for it. They tell you have a right to an attorney. Okay, most of these public pretenders out here, all they're trying to do is just do enough cases until they can get on with a big law firm. So unless you get somebody like Johnny Cochran or somebody who really cares, somebody who's really good that has a name, we're doing a fail every single time unless we stand up together. Thank you, James.
And Cheryl, the problem is that, you know, we realize that had a black man shot an unarmed white child, he wouldn't have slept in his bed that night. You know what I'm saying? We honest enough with ourselves to know that George Zimmerman went home that night, but had a black man shot an unarmed child that night, he would have went to jail. And they would not have stopped until they found out who that child's parents was that night. You need to know that this child was a John Doe for more than 48 hours or 72 hours. I forget how long it was. And it was because they called in to say they had a missing child that they were able to find out who that child's parents were. So these are the kind of things we deal with where we know we're not going to get that same kind of opportunity to go home after we do something wrong.
When you say go home, you don't even mean go to jail. You mean that you don't get killed, because most of the time they don't shoot you up. That is their trial, their jury, everything right there. You don't have that opportunity. You don't have the opportunity to prove if you are even innocent, because 9 times out of 10, you're going to be killed. They even think about bringing you to jail. And, I mean, it's so sad that we see each other through these kind of lenses when we all are human beings. You know, one life is no more precious than the next life. And as far as getting off, it's the person with the best lawyer and the most money that will get you off. That's what a lawyer does. The lawyer works for you. It doesn't matter if you are guilty or innocent. Their job is, for what you're paying them for, is to get you off, regardless of what the situation is. You know, and our justice system is so messed up today. You know, you can murder somebody and get out of jail a whole lot quicker than if you are doing drugs or you doing something else. I mean, it is so backwards. And I mean, you know, and this is something that we deal with all the time. So when you say, you know, we wouldn't be able to sleep at home, no, we would be sleeping. We would not be sleeping, period. We would be shot, because that's what they're going to do. They're going to shoot first.
Yeah, D, we got a lot of work to do. We got a lot of work to do, because there's nothing balanced or even about our system.
Yes, sir.
You there, D?
I am. You know, first of all, before I move on, and not to be to tie in the embarrassment with the conversation that we're having, I want to thank Nate for his service that he has done for our country. You know, with all that's going on, and Jane, you said the best, with the times that we're living in, United States of America is still supposed to be the beacon for the free world to aspire to. Yes, we have our problems, and we are seemingly see if we are willing to defend our way of life, even with the current administration not wanting to be a part of that. You know, we also live in a time, I want to say quickly, that where your religion and your denomination plays just as big a part as race relations and when it comes down to fairness thereof. So, yeah, you are right. We have a lot of work to do. I like to encourage the clergy to get involved a lot more, because, you know, if we don't have God and Jesus Christ as part of the factor that one needs to try to adhere to and aspire to, then all is lost. So, yes, Ms. Sheriff, you're right. We got to do a better job. We got to do a better job. We got to get the clergy, start being part of the buddy system, start being trying to get the city council to go along with your zoning or whatever it is that it is, whatever is keeping you quiet. I don't understand why you're so quiet. I really don't. And we need them to be more involved and help save what we have left, actually. And thank you, James, for letting me say that. Appreciate it.
All right, guys, I want to thank you so much for your continued support. Believe, again, that we're here 7 days a week, Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. Call in at 657-383-0309. We're here at 8 p.m. on Saturdays Eastern Time and 8:30 on Sundays Eastern Time to talk about the things that we must discuss so that we know where we are and what direction we're headed. We have no time for anybody to be sitting on the sidelines. We all have to come in and discuss the issues that impact our lives today and in the future. Take care, everybody. See you tomorrow at 6 p.m. Eastern Time on Thoughts, Love, and Reflections. Call in at 657-383-0309.
Faithful and true to you, darling.